You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. It is our prayer that we grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus as we learn to build our foundation through God's Word in our worship and prayer life. And so we bring you this series called Upper Room.
One more year, you appreciate our time of worship. All right, we're going to talk about worship next week, and then next week we're going to talk about prayer. But who among you here, you join us last week? We celebrated with us in our 10th year anniversary. Praise God. Come on, let's give it a hand for that. You know what? I can still feel the hype and the energy of what happened last week. For those of you, this is your first time and you didn't join last week. Every Nation Macau is already 10 years old. Praise God for the past 10 years of His faithfulness. And you know what? For the past 10 years, I've witnessed the miracles. I've witnessed the healing that God did in the past. Or just to let you know, I'm part of this church since this church has been planted. That was 10 years ago. And I've witnessed how God brought restoration to those people who came from broken family, those people who are sick. God demonstrated that healing. And God, I witnessed how God is growing the church. And with that, we are excited for the next 10 years because God is not yet done. Who among you are excited for the next 10 years? Amen. There are still a lot of things that God will do in this nation. God is not yet done in Macau. Amen. His kingdom will continue to advance and God will use us. God will use this church. God will use you. Amen. For His kingdom to advance. And just like what I've said, I was here 2010. I'm part of this church when this church has been planted. And the reason why I came here, I arrived here because of the short-term mission trip. That was 2010 when Every Nation Philippines sent us here. And after our mission trip, when we went back to the Philippines, every night I cannot sleep because God is speaking to me, you have to go back to Macau immediately. And with that still voice that I've heard from God, I obeyed God. Even though I have no money, I have no visa, I just obeyed God. And I came here, that was after 2 months, 2011, and the rest was history. I'm now one of the pastors of the church. And the reason why I came here, because of the voice of God. I heard from Him. God called me to go, to come here in Macau. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Last week, Pastor Gio pounded the word abide. Who among you remember that? And this is the continuation of that preaching, that we have to abide, we have to stay to the true vine. And once you connect, once you abide, then fruitfulness will come. All right, you're going to bear so much fruit that will last forever. And maybe, you know what, I just sense that some of you here, you are in the middle of crossroad. You're about to make a major, major decision in your life. I hope and I pray that this word, this preaching will speak to you. Before you make that major decision, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, let that Spirit and truth speak to you. Okay? This series, okay, just like what I've said, we have a brand new series entitled Upper Room. Today, next week, and next week, we're going to talk about intimacy with God. Everybody say intimacy with God. Okay, now, in Acts 1, 13 to 14, it says here, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, that's the word, where they were staying. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now, we get the title of this series in that verse in the Bible called the upper room. In the upper room, this is the place where the disciples met God. Okay, in the upper room, this is the place where they've encountered the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Jesus Christ said before He ascended to heaven, God, Jesus, He gave an instruction to His disciples to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, the disciples, they were inside the upper room, they were praying, they were worshiping, okay? And then they are offering their petition, their supplication to God. And then while they were praying, the Holy Spirit descended upon them and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they received that, they began to scatter, they began to preach the word, preach the gospel, they did extraordinary things because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, not by might nor by human strength, but only by the Spirit of the living God. Okay, these disciples whom they, these people who received the Holy Spirit, they began to cast out demons, they healed the sick, okay, they raised the dead. A lot of extraordinary things took place when they received the Spirit of the living God inside that upper room. Okay, in the upper room, this is the place where the early church started. Okay, in the upper room. And not only that, during the Last Supper, if you remember the story, they were inside the upper room. The disciples, together with Jesus, who is the Word, who became flesh. Okay, they've encountered God in the upper room. They've encountered the presence of God. They've encountered the living God inside the upper room. All right, my question to all of us is, how's your upper room? If we don't have upper room, how's your room? Is your room clean? All right. Now, every Sunday we gather here, right? We worship God in spirit and in truth. And it's a good thing. As a congregation, we hear together the Word of God. But when it comes to your own personal life, your devotion, okay, your quiet time, how is it? Okay, how about in your own personal life? Are you reading God's Word? Are you meditating God's Word? Do you pray every day? You know what? If you will read the gospel, Jesus Christ will go to a solitary place. He will pray to God. He will seek God, the Father. It's the same thing with us. Okay? Now, maybe your room is not, or it's kind of noisy. You can go to some other place and start meditating and reading and seek God. Because for sure, once you do that, the Lord will speak to you. Amen. The Lord will speak to you. Now, today, we're going to talk about Word. Everybody say Word. Now, in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, it says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And in verse 14, it says here, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." All right, now just to give you a context of this verse or the background of this text. Now, the New Testament books was written in a Greek language. The Old Testament was written in a Hebrew language. And when John wrote the book of John, okay, one of his audience were the Greeks. Okay, now the Greeks, these are the kind of people where they love to reason together. They love arguments. They love to engage in an argument. So among here, you're like that. You love to engage in an argument. You want to become a lawyer. That's your dream. Okay? The Greeks are like that. They love new concepts, new ideas, new philosophies, new teachings. All right? These are one of the audience of John when he wrote this text. And when John wrote this, he's talking about Jesus. The word here, many times, can you see the pronoun? It's not it, but he. Many times, John mentioned the word, and what he's talking about, this word is not a collection of words that conveys a concept. Okay? What he's talking about, this word that I'm talking about, is more than ideas, because the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if you're going to translate that word in Greek word, that word is logos. And the meaning of logos is meaning and purpose. Logos, where we get the word logic or logi or study of anything like theology, biology, zoology, study of life. Okay? That word logos means meaning and purpose. And what John is saying here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what John is saying here, in the beginning, before the universe was created, before human brain was created, the Word was there already from the very beginning. Okay? What John is saying here, before human brain, before the human philosophies was created, the Word was already there. What John is saying here, meaning and reason is not a concept, because John is talking about Jesus. And another translation of logos is reason. Meaning, purpose, and reason. So Jesus, He is the reason. He is the meaning and He is the purpose. Okay? Because only when you walk with the person and start living with the person, then you'll find meaning. Right? When you walk with the person and start talking with the person, then you will know the reason why God created you. Then you will know your purpose. Because the Word is a person and His name is Jesus. Meaning intimate relationship with the Word. Intimate relationship with Jesus. That's why every time you read God's Word, you are seeking God. You are seeking Jesus because this is Jesus. He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? Meaning and reason is a person who existed in the beginning. Amen? Now the word Word in Greek, there's two translations. First is Logos and the other one is Rhema. Now everybody say Logos. Okay? Now Jesus is revealed in the Logos. When we talk about the Logos, it's the written Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? Every time you read the Logos, there's revelation. It's the written Word of God, and it's a general guidance to all of us. We've learned a lot, okay? God gave us revelation because of the Logos. Oh, mong you're grateful for the Logos. Because of the Logos, because of the written Word of God, we've learned about golden rule. You know what's a golden rule? Let's have an exam this morning. You know what is a golden rule? Do to others what you want others do to you, right? We've learned that. We've learned that kind of principles. We've learned the principles behind tithing because of the Logos. We've learned the principles about marriage, about living in purity, about honoring God, and honoring other people, respecting other people. You know what? If the people in the world will just follow that general guidance, there's no war, right? It's so powerful. What else? We've learned about the principles about how to handle our finances to become a good steward because of the Logos. And it's a written Word of God. It's our general guidance. It's for everyone. Amen? Now, it says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." So the Bible says that the Logos, it's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Every time you read the Logos, every time you meditate the Logos, it seems like there's something, okay, inside that will convict you. The Logos convicts, the Logos rebukes, it comforts, it encourages us. That's how powerful the Logos is, right? That's how powerful the Word of God is. It changes the way we think. It changes our perspective. That's why there are nations, they banned the Bible because they knew the power of this Word. There's something, okay, with the human being, okay? It changes the nature of that human being because of the Logos. Because of the Spirit of truth comes inside of us. The Logos is the truth, and the truth will set us free. The Logos is a person, and His name is Jesus. And knowing that He is a person, He can take that weaknesses and make that weaknesses into your strength. Amen? He can take that poverty into prosperity. He can take that nothingness into something else. That ordinary into extraordinary. That sickness into health. Once you declare the Logos, because it's alive, sharper, active than double-edged sword. Amen. It changes our attitude. It changes our behavior. That's how powerful the Logos is. And there's another term for the Word, which means Rhema. Everybody say Rhema. Okay? Now, when we talk about Rhema, this is the spoken Word of God. All right? It gets exciting. The Logos, this is the written Word of God, written Word of God, and it's our general guidance. When we talk about the Rhema, it's the spoken Word of God specifically for that person in that specific situation. All right? That's what Rhema is all about. Specific guidance, a specific word to a specific person in that specific situation. Now, it says in Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That word here is Rhema. Okay? I've shared to you the verses in Logos. But this word, when Satan tempted Jesus, because did you know that the devil knows the word? If you do not know the word, the devil knows the word. And he can use that word to tempt you. He can twist that word. All right? That's why the way Satan countered, the way Jesus countered Satan, it says here, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is the Rhema word of God. Okay? Now, every time you read the Bible, okay, it doesn't give us specific, right? There's no book or chapter or verse in the Bible that will tell you, okay, Jimmy, marry that person. There's no specific, okay? Just like what I've said, it's our general guidance. Right? General guidance. But there's no such thing as specific, okay? Joella, you go there in that nation after Macau. There's no specific in the Bible. There's no book. There's no chapter. There's no verse. Okay? But it gives us the principle. Now, here's the thing. If you are faithfully walking in the Logos, if you are faithfully living in the Logos, the written word of God, you are a candidate for a Rhema. Okay, the Lord God will speak to you. Okay? When you are faithfully devoting yourself, meditating God's word, okay, you can receive Rhema every single day. All right? Who among you are excited for that? God will speak to you. You want God to speak to you. Okay? Through His words. Okay? You are a candidate for Rhema once you faithfully walk in the Rhema. Okay? Because you are paying attention to the Logos, He'll quicken the Rhema. When you fall in love with the Lord, He will start talking. Amen? That's why your devotion is so powerful. My question is, do you have time to read the Bible? Do you have time to meditate God's Word? Do you have time for Netflix? Do you have time for Facebook? All right? When we talk about the Rhema, it's the specific Word of God, and we'll make it alive, inspire, and put that into your heart. All right? Just like what happened to Peter, all right? Now, here's the thing. Just because Peter walked on water doesn't mean you can walk on water later right after the service. That word specifically, Peter received because Peter prayed, Lord, if you are Jesus, command me to walk on water. And he started to walk on water because he received that rhema specifically for him, all right, in that very specific situation. Okay? Now, the Logos means the written word of God potentially can be yours. Okay? You have to receive that. You have to declare that, but not practically yours. Okay? It says in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. That's the Rhema. And the message is heard through the word about Christ, through His word. Now, here's the thing. The reason why you got saved, because God revealed Himself to you. Right? The gospel message, God inspired that. Okay? And you received that. And it became alive to you. That's why you are here right now. From the very beginning of time, okay, people did not discover God. But God revealed Himself to the people. He revealed Himself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Joseph, and He revealed Himself to you. That's why you are here, because you received that Rhema word of God. And it says here, faith comes from hearing the message. That's why you have faith right now, because God revealed Himself to you. All right, that's the Rhema that you receive. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Just like what I've said, okay, I came here to 2010 because I've heard the voice of God. Now, I got saved at the age of 18. Okay, I grew up in a Christian church, but the moment that I surrendered my life, when I was 18 years old, that was 2015. No, 2003, all right? And after a couple of months, we went to a youth retreat. And then there's these two missionaries from the U.S. They prayed for me. They prophesied. And they told me, the Lord will use you. You're gonna go to many places. Okay? You're gonna advance the kingdom of God. Now, growing up, my dream is to become a basketball player. That's my dream. And hearing that message, because I have no idea about the only verse that I know is John 3:16. Okay, for God so loved the world, and that's it. And I have no idea. Then that very word, okay, from them that I received, I kept that word in my heart and in my mind. And I was thinking, maybe the Lord will answer my prayer. I will become an NBA superstar. Because NBA player, they traveled a lot. So maybe God will fulfill my dream. Thank you, Lord. All right? But after 4 years, okay? After 4 years, after my victory weekend, I got baptized by the Holy Spirit and I was so on fire. You know what? I'm reading the Word every single day. And I came across Acts 1:8. And the moment that I read that word, that Acts 1:8, it says there, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know what? That very word, the moment that I read that word, it seems like God brought me back to the time when during our youth retreat, when there's these two missionaries who's prophesying to me. Okay, and since that day, the moment that I read that text, Acts 1:8, I knew my calling. God is calling me to advance the kingdom. God is calling me to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. All right, that's the rhema that I received from the Lord. Okay, it took me 4 years to, the moment that I read that, it makes sense to me because of the Logos. God confirmed my calling through His Word. Amen? Maybe some of you here, okay, you're saying, you're praying, Lord, You've said in your word, why is it that, you've said in your word, I will become rich, but why is it that I'm still poor? You've said in your word, Lord, that I'm gonna marry someone, but why is it that I'm still single? Okay, here's the thing. Learn how to wait upon the Lord. Just like what I said, it took me 4 years for me to understand because of the word. Now, my question is that really the rhema that you receive from God? All right? That's why you need the word, okay? The Logos, the written word of God, the Rhema, the spoken word of God, and the leaders in the church. If these all voices, there's unity, it's in sync, then that's your calling. All right, once you step in, once you make that decision, there will be no trouble because you know and you know and you know for sure that this is from God. All right? Just like what happened to me, I know and I know and I know that this is my calling. Once you step in, once you make that decision, there's peace. There's no confusion. Now, if you are here, you're confused, seek counsel. Okay, you can go to the pastors, you can ask your victory group leaders if you don't understand the word. Right? That's why don't make decision based on what you feel. Okay, base it through His words. Read the word. Faithfully walk in the Logos. Faithfully walk and meditate and read the Logos. And then God will quicken that rhema. And the leaders in the church will confirm that. Amen. And learn how to wait upon the Lord. The Logos, this is our daily bread. Amen. The rhema, this is the bread with Nutella. With mayonnaise, peanut butter, and jelly. All right, Psalms 37:23, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Who will direct? Whose way? God's way or your way? How can we know God's way? How can we know God's direction? Joshua 1:8, it says here, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. What's the formula for success? Meditating God's word. Keeping God's word. Among here, you want to prosper. Amen. Right? Meditate God's word. Just like what happened to Joshua. He meditated God's word. He kept the word. And he received not success, but good success. Because we have our own definition of success. Amen? When we talk about success, true success is obeying God. Amen? Joshua was a successful man because he kept the word. Right? He kept the word in his heart, in his mind, and he meditated on it day and night. Now, in this world that we are living in, we have our own definition of success. Okay? Our own definition is driving a Bentley car. Now, there's nothing wrong about Bentley car, okay? But sometimes our own definition is living in a mansion. There's nothing wrong about mansion. You can buy a mansion, okay? But here's my point. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but yet loses his soul? Amen? You know what? The moment that you hear God's voice, obey God immediately. Okay? Delayed obedience is disobedience. And the right time to do the right thing is right now. True success is obeying God. Amen? Proverbs 16:9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. What's my dream when I was a teenager? To become rich and famous and get married at the age of 40. That's my dream. All right? To become a basketball superstar. Okay? And have these big businesses. There's nothing wrong about that. It's a good dream. Okay? But thank God because God redirected my steps through His Word. Okay? God ordered my steps through His words. I have so many plans, but God has His own plan. Thank God I listened to His voice. Thank God God spoke to me. And I know for sure that this is my calling because God spoke to me. Amen. You will never go wrong obeying God. You will never go wrong. Amen? Maybe you are here, you're in the middle, okay? You're about to make that major decision. Listen from Him. And you will never go wrong once you obey God, once you obey His word. And let me tell you this, this is the best decision that I've made. Because I know and I know that this is from God. Amen. There's no confusion, there's no trouble, but there's peace that surpasses all understanding. So every time you hear God's word, do not harden your heart. Can you please tell the person sitting next to you, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Amen? We are getting a lot of principles in the Bible, okay? General guidance. And once the Holy Spirit inspired that, it will become alive. You know what? I've shared 2 weeks ago how to guard our hearts and our mind. Okay? And one way of guarding is to meditate God's word. Just like what Joshua did. He meditated God's word day and night. Everybody say meditate. Okay, it says in Psalms 1:1, the verse that we read a while ago, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. I love that word that says there, blessed is the one. Omong yun na be blessed. Amen. Okay, blessed is the one. Now, if you're going to translate that in Hebrew language, that word blessed means joyful. Okay, we have learned joyfulness 2 weeks ago in our previous series. Okay, if you're going to translate that blessed in a Hebrew language, it means content, satisfaction. Okay, you are satisfied. Okay, you can be joyful in the midst of persecution. You can be joyful in the midst of trials. Okay, meaning you are blessed. If you have that joyfulness in your heart, if you have that contentment in your heart, you are blessed. Because our own definition of blessed is different. But in the Bible, okay, when we talk about blessing, it goes beyond material things. Wow, there's joyfulness, there's contentment, there's satisfaction. You know what? There are a lot of millionaires. In Macau, we are living in Macau, rich nation, rich city. There are a lot of millionaires and billionaires, but yet, still, they are lonely. They are not satisfied. There's no contentment, right? There are a lot of millionaires out there. In the past, they committed suicide. Yes, they have money, they are rich, but there's no real joy. There's no contentment. But the Bible is saying, blessed is the one. Meaning, if you have Jesus, you're blessed. Because you're content. There's satisfaction, and you have joyfulness in your heart. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed is the one who does not what? Walk in the counsel of the wicked. Okay, meaning the philosophies of the wicked. You are not following the ways of the world because there are a lot of voices here in this world. Okay? If you are not following the philosophies of the world and you are following the word of God, meaning you are blessed. What are the philosophies of the world that we have learned in the past? Follow your heart, bro. Follow your heart, sis. These are the philosophies of the world, right? Love is a feeling. But the Bible says love is a decision. All right? Love is not a feeling. Okay? If we don't feel loving that person, so you're gonna abandon that person? What are the philosophies of the world? YOLO, you only live once. Enjoy your life. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. These are the philosophies of the world that we have learned in the past. And it says there, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, okay, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Can you see the progression? It's deliberate. First, he's just walking, and then he stands because he saw something. It's kind of entertaining, okay? And then after that, now you find yourself sitting because you are loving it, and now you're laughing with them. Right? It's a deliberate trajectory. You're just walking, and then you're standing because you're enjoying that philosophy, that teaching, and then now you're sitting. Sitting here signifies intimacy. Intimacy with the wicked people. All right? Same thing with the people in hell. The reason why they are there is not just one decision. It's their decision every single day. It's a trajectory. Okay? The reason why they are there because they've decided to go there. Okay? But here, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of that sinners or take in the company of mockers. Meaning you are following, you are faithfully walking the ways of the Lord, not the ways of the world. Amen. Blessed is the one who goes to the upper room and sit with Jesus. Amen. Meditating God's word. Verse 2, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on his law day and night. Here we can see, okay, the difference between those people who are blessed and those people who are not. Those people who are not blessed, these are the people who are following the philosophies of the wicked, the philosophies of the world. But if you are following the ways of the Lord, it says here, you are blessed. Now here's the thing. If there are things that corrupts your mind and your heart, cut it off. All right, throw it off. Okay, what can we learn here? Delight in God's word. Everybody say delight. Okay, when we say delight, you know what? That's my prayer to all of us. When we say delight, falling in love, you are in love. Okay, falling in love with God's word, that's my prayer to all of us. Delight means pleasure, meaning you love to read, you love to meditate. You know what? When I was courting my wife, being with her was a delight. Okay? I want to be with her. Time doesn't really matter. I can drive her wherever because I want to stare at her beautiful face. Same thing with her, stare at my handsome face. That's what delight means, okay? If you're going to prioritize, meaning you love God's word. Okay? Time doesn't really matter. There's passion. There's adrenaline. You want to dig deeper. You want to meditate His word. Okay? Because there are some people, there's no delight. Like every time they open the word, after 5 seconds, they're already sleepy. They got bored. There's no delight. There's no passion. But instead of reading, they're going to start watching Netflix. Oh, I love that movie. Okay? They're not prioritizing God's word. Okay, instead of meditating God's word, what they will do because they don't understand, oh my gosh, numbers, oh my gosh, Ezekiel, what is this? Okay, I'll just do TikTok. Right? There's delight in TikTok. There's delight in social media. There's delight in Netflix. But how about reading God's word? How about meditating God's word? Right? Prioritize the word of God. Check your screen time on your phone. What's the number one? Okay? If Facebook is number one, meaning it's a delight for you to open your Facebook. Okay? It says here, Job 23:12, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. For Job, it's the utmost priority. It's the utmost important thing. It's the utmost authority for Job. Omong, you have your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can download a Bible app for free. Okay? You can approach me later right after the service. You can download that for free and start reading, start meditating, because the Word of God is life. Amen? It's alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. Treasure it more than your daily bread. Treasure the word more than Netflix. Treasure the word more than basketball. Treasure the word more than TikTok. Amen? Delight in God's word. Next one, meditate on God's word. Everybody say meditate. Now, the word meditate was taught in New Age religion. For them, meditating is like this. That's how they define meditation. When we talk about meditation, it's like this, okay? You open the Bible and then start reading. Example, now if you are new in the Lord, start reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, if you are walking in the Lord for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you can read the book of Psalms and Proverbs if you're new in the Lord. Okay, now this is how you meditate God's word. Example, John 3:16. Jesus wept. No. John 3:16, it says there, for God so loved the world. And then you process it. Okay. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is how you meditate the word. Okay, you think about it. Really? For God so loved the world? Not just me? Even my boss? Oh my gosh! Really? For God so loved the world, even my neighbor, even Jimmy, God loves him? That's how you meditate the word. You process it, you analyze it. Okay? For God so loved the world, meaning even my enemies? Oh no! God loves them! For God so loved the world that He gave. So meaning, love is not a feeling, but love is about giving. Ah, that's why the message of Christmas is about giving. All right? He gave what? He gave His one and only Son. Ah, that's the reason why the people, every December, they are giving gifts to one another. Because that's the message of Christmas. And that's the message of love. Okay, that's how you meditate God's word. You think about it. Because there are a lot of people, instead of meditating God's word, they meditate about the current situation. Oh my God, Afghanistan. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, people are jumping from the plane. Oh my gosh. Oh, COVID. Oh my gosh, I'm next. All right? Instead of meditating God's word, they meditate the current situation. Oh my gosh, the next president, that one, oh no. I don't like him. All right? Meditate on God's word. You process it. You analyze it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God loves me. God loves the people. That's why the calling of the church is to preach the gospel. That's why the calling of the church is to make disciples. Because every person, every human being, God values that person. Because God loves that person. Ah, okay, now I know. Okay, that's how you meditate. That's how you analyze. You realize, okay, what I think about, what I talk about. You can discuss it to your victory group. Okay, to your victory group leader. Bro, I've read the text in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So meaning God loves you as well? Oh, wow. What I think about, what I talk about. Okay. Me and my wife, that's how we process the word together. Sometimes she will ask me questions. Sometimes I will ask her a question. And sometimes as a pastor, I will explain to her the context of the text, the verses. You analyze, you process, you realize. That's what meditating is all about. Amen. Instead of meditating the world situation, the news that you've been hearing every single day, this is the good news. Amen. This is the good news. And the truth will set us free. Amen. Now, it says here, Psalms 1:3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. Wow, there's fruitfulness. You're gonna bear so much fruit that will last. Okay? For whatever difficulties that comes your way, you're gonna stand strong because of the Word of God. Because this is our foundation. Okay? Not the philosophies of the world. Not the teachings of the world. Learn the truth and apply the truth later, right after this. Okay, once you meditate this, there's life, there's fruit, and you're gonna prosper. You're timeless, and there's nourishment because of the Word of God. Amen? You know what? I was talking to someone, a young person, part of our youth here in the church. He's battling with anxiety. Okay? And Because of that, I told him, bro, you know what? You meditate Psalms 91. And you know what? He meditated that verse. And in verse 3, okay, God spoke to him. The moment that he read that text, it seems like it's burning in his heart. And he texted me, he called me. Bro, I've heard the voice of God because of this text, because of this verse that you've sent to me. He meditated on it. Okay, he processed that verse. He kept that verse on his heart. And you know what? After a couple of days and weeks, I saw his face. His countenance was changed. His aura was changed. You know why? Because he meditated God's word. That's the power of the word of God. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Maybe you are here, you're battling with anxiety. You're battling with depression. I'm not saying stop taking medicine. I'm not saying stop going to the doctor. But start meditating God's word. There's power when you meditate this, the Word of God, okay? The Word of God has the power to change your perspective. To change, okay? To replace that anxiety inside of your mind. Because the Word of God is powerful, sharper, and active, alive. Sharper than any double-edged sword. Just like what happened to that guy. Alright? Can I pray for you? Lord, thank you, Lord God, for the Word that we receive. I pray, Lord God, that we're gonna apply this after this. The word of God. We can apply the words that we received this morning. And Lord, I pray for those people who are battling with anxiety, Lord, and maybe depression. I pray that as they start to meditate your word, I pray that healing will come in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts, updates, and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. The Lord bless you.